This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Whatever
News! In today's episode, we've got some stories to talk about. In case you aren't subscribed, you definitely should do so. Subscribe down there, hit the bell to get all notifications. That way, you'll always be notified and get the Forever News. I got all the scoop. Definitely subscribe, hit that bell, and enjoy. Okay, people, so for starters, we got a story regarding the former director of the Bakuman anime, as well as the Kindaichi anime, if I'm not mistaken. He's going to be doing something interesting with Netflix, so we're going to be talking about that. We also got Mushoku Tensei 2, or the second core, basically. We got an update on that as well. Been very, very anxious for that because, yeah, y'all know it was recently delayed. So, we're going to be talking about that one, too. We got an update for Cowboy Bebop, including something that they're doing regarding another adaptation. Sony making some moves with Marvel anime, in particular an X-Men Marvel anime, which I've had for quite some time. We'll get into it. We got a record of Ragnarok anime update, or a new mini anime incoming. The creator of Gundam, Yoshiyuki Tomino, seems to be at the end of his rope and almost done and out of the anime industry. That's a big one. We'll talk about it. Okay, so one of the creators of Death Note recently announced that they're already working on a new series. Yeah, I know they recently wrapped up the Platinum End manga and they got an anime incoming. Well, one half of the duo is already on to the next one. We'll talk about that. We got loads of One Piece news, from a big announcement that's incoming to some drama that went down in the community due to some info that came out. Whole bunch of stuff for the One Piece community in general, from anime news to manga news to trivia that is very important to the story. Just a ton of stuff. We're going to talk about all of it. Small update for Jujutsu Kaisen. Small update for Demon Slayer, in particular stuff to do with the first season, but also a look into the future of it. Very, very terrible, horrible news for Black Clover. Yeah, we're going to talk about this one. I'm not thrilled at all, to say the least, to be reporting on this, but yeah, we'll talk about it. Little update on Lupin the Third Part 6, if I'm not mistaken. Things looking really, really bad. I mean, really bad for a Shonen Jump title that everyone is loving, and it is such a shame, or at the very least, everybody here in the West. I can't speak for Japan, because obviously Japan is speaking right now. We're going to talk about it because it's looking grim. We got an update for World Trigger's upcoming anime season. Major, major interview with the editor-in-chief of Shonen Jump, but he was also the editor of Bleach, all sorts of stuff. This man is a legend. We got a lengthy interview that we're going to go through because, yeah, I feel like it's pretty important and significant considering he's one of the brains behind everything that we've gotten in the last decade or so, or 2 decades now, actually, because he's been around for a while. Like, yeah, we're going to talk about this one. This man is a legend, and he's came out and spoke a lot. Honestly, some of the stuff in that interview makes you really think about the politics behind manga in particular, and some of the stuff that you actually see. You'll be surprised. I saw a few excerpts from it, and I was already like, wow. We got the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Little update on the author of Blue Exorcist and what they're doing during the hiatus. We got sales updates for Twin Star Exorcist alongside Arslan, the Arslan manga. A series called Ranger Reject that I know a few people at the very least read has went on hiatus. We'll talk about that. And Dragon Ball Super canceled in Argentina, at the very least. Like, yeah, a lot of people are going crazy because over there in Argentina, Dragon Ball Super has been canceled due to some crazy stuff that we're gonna get into. And yeah, people, that's the stories we have for today's episode. Without further ado, let's jump into another exciting episode of
Whatever
News! The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you, we get into it. Let's do it.
No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done. No matter how you know, get it done.
Okay, people, so for starters, we got an update on a new Netflix series that's coming from one of the brains behind the Kendaichi series, as well as, I want to say, they were also behind the Bakuman anime. It says, by the way, this article is courtesy of Anime News Network. It says, Netflix Kendaichi Shin Kibayashi reveal Lady Napoleon original anime. Netflix revealed on Tuesday that it is working with manga creator Shin Kibayashi on an original anime titled Lady Napoleon. And the art already kind of looks intriguing. I'm not gonna lie, especially that far right character design. He looks like a badass. This is Impossible West Pass Francis. I butchered the fuck out of that. Action fantasy anime will center on Sophie, a descendant of Napoleon, and leader of the Lady Napoleon organization bent on world domination. Napoleon once had three sacred treasures, and Sophie, her jack of all trades butler named Butler, and the martial artist Master Guy, searched the world for these lost treasures. Noriaki Akitaya, who did Bakuman, all three seasons of Bakuman at that, Active Raid, Otosuki, Are You the Only One Who Loves Me, is directing the anime at Zero G, Sugumomo, Grand Blue, Dreaming, Battery, the animation, and the show will have 13 episodes, and Netflix will stream the series worldwide. I felt it was significant because this dude, you know, worked on some significant stuff, and also it sounds interesting. Maybe this could be something that we could get into when it comes out. Especially the Napoleon stuff. It's like, I remember reading about this motherfucker in history, and yeah, them kind of using that idea. I don't think I've seen that really in anime like that. So might be interesting. I don't know. Moving forward, we finally got an update on Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation Part 2, or Season 1 Part 2. It says Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation anime second part previewed in video, because it was a trailer with it. It says the official website for the TV anime of Rifujina Magonete's Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation light novel series began streaming a promotional video on Tuesday for the show's sequel, its second quarter of a year. The second quarter will premiere on October 3rd and will air in Japan on Tokyo MX, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, there's a promotional image there. And from the trailer, it looks like shit is about to get real. And I can't freaking wait for this shit. I'm not even gonna lie. I've been waiting. I had a blast with it. And I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes from here. I wish that they would be a little more on top of things with the dub, because lately, I don't know what it is, and I was on a long stretch of, I'm not watching dub, but there's a few titles recently that I've just been like, you know what? Let's try dub. Let's see, because I know dubs is not about it being bad. You know, dubs actually have come a long way since the days of the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, they're pretty okay for the most part. With this one in particular, I remember I was pissed off because I was like halfway through, or almost all the way through, like 9 or 10 episodes in, and there was like a massive delay, months passing with no episodes to finish it off. So I just went to sub. Hopefully they get it together, because actually the person that played the main character, the dub voice actor, went in his adult form, I'm talking about, or you know, his mentally adult form, he was great with it. I don't know, I really loved his voice, so I hope they get it together on the dub aspect of it. Moving forward, we got a few pieces of Cowboy Bebop news. For starters, we got an update on the live action. We just recently spoke about the massive controversy that came through regarding the actress that plays Faye Valentine. She came out clapping back at fans that were criticizing her and criticizing the look for the Faye Valentine character and all that jazz. Well, now the actor behind Spike himself, John Cho, said that he's worried about the inevitable comparisons. Let's read. Live action Cowboy Bebop's John Cho is worried about the inevitable comparisons. Netflix's live action Cowboy Bebop is set to drop on November 19th, and star John Cho has some big space cowboy boots to fill. The 49-year-old Star Trek and Searching actor sat down with Vulture's E, Alex Jung, to discuss his role as Spike Spiegel, and revealed one of his biggest concerns is the inevitable comparisons with Shinichiro Watanabe's original anime. The interview is all about me freaking out, but the amount of thought and worry and effort and number of days I've logged thinking about Spike is now equaling the fear I have about the reaction. Cho incurred an injury while filming the series in New Zealand and revealed in the interview that he tore his ACL. His physical therapy and recovery gave the actor ample time to think about the audience's potential reception to his role, including his difference in age to the original character. The biggest fear that I had was I was too old. I knew people were going to have issues with my age, and I had to get over it. I was going to look different than a 25-year-old guy. guy, at some point the opportunity is yes or no, do you want to do it? And I did want to do it, so I wasn't going to stop myself from doing it. He also wanted to make sure the series wasn't a scene-by-scene remake either. Okay, whoa. I also thought that that was a recipe for encouraging unflattering comparisons. How could you do it better? You can't. You have to do something a little different, Cho told Vulture. Seems like, now that I'm looking at it, I'll be honest with you, we're going to continue in a second. Sounds like they're setting up the actors to take the blame. I wonder if that's a Hollywood trick where the studios is like, yo, we need you to do press and we need you to make it seem like it was your choices. Like, yeah, the actors really have all these choices to say, oh, yeah, no, we're changing the script right here and we're doing things like, obviously, John Cho, you know, he has a little bit of pull and shit like that. But the way they're making it sound with the actress of Faye Valentine coming out and speaking out and then now him, is like they want the heat to go on them so that Netflix doesn't take the heat. You get what I'm saying? Like, these are things, these are strategic moves that are being made, in my opinion, to take the blame and to take a lot of the heat off of Netflix if shit goes up in flames. I'm just saying, sounds like it to me. While Cho wasn't initially familiar with the series prior to getting the offer for the role, he said that searching director Anish Chaganti encouraged him to accept. After reading the Netflix series' first episode script, Cho sought out the anime, which he described as tremendous. He added that he made sure original composer Yoko Kanno was on board prior to signing on to the role. Okay, sure. I didn't think the show would go forward without her involvement. She is too integral to the show. Our iteration minus her would suffer too much. Cho isn't just starring in the live action series. His likeness as Spike is also appearing in an upcoming comic series. Cowboy Bebop, the comic series, will debut in December with multiple variant covers followed by a collected paperback release in May of 2022. Dan Waiters, who did Lucifer Homesick Pilots, and artist Lamar Mathurin are helming the adaptation at Titan Comics. The live action series staff writer Sean Cummings is also penning a prequel novel. Whoa, okay, that's pretty interesting. I'll be honest with you, like I said, I feel like they setting up the actors for failure, that if this goes up in flames, John Cho is going to get the brunt of it. Forgive me, I can't remember her last name, Daniela, the actress behind Faye Valentine, she's going to get the brunt of it. Like him talking about, oh, I made sure this happened and that happened, and yeah, that's definitely a possibility, like, hey, I need this and that, but I don't know. This reminds me of Dragon Ball Evolution when they had James Marsder, if is that how you pronounce his last name? When they had him, the dude that played Piccolo, they had him coming out and saying, yeah, you know, I said I wanted green skin. They had beige skin. I said I wanted green skin, to make it seem like, oh, he was really, you know, the actors really loved it. And at the same time, again, if shit went up in flames, you could blame the actors. It looks like this is a tactic for anime adaptation into live action films that they've been doing for a while. That's just my opinion. Maybe I'm off. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I've been doing this for a little long and I know a little something something. The comic book though sounds interesting, and a prequel novel, I hope that they have Shinichiro Watanabe on board to at least say, like, approve of certain things. Like, don't all of a sudden have that Spike when he was younger like to eat penguin shit or something. Like, make sure Shinichiro Watanabe gives it the okay before it gets pushed through. Next up, a little update on Sony and their moves that they're making with Marvel anime, because according to this it says Sony Pictures streams Marvel anime X-Men on YouTube. Sony Pictures Television began streaming the first episode of Madhouse's anime adaptation of Marvel Comics' X-Men franchise on its Throwback Toons YouTube channel on Saturday. I feel like it's interesting, right? Because about 10 years ago, let's just say, it was about 10 years, they tried to make quite a few Marvel anime. They even had, at the time, Madhouse, the highly revered, and, you know, everybody acclaimed them as like, oh my god, they're amazing. They had them animating a lot of these shows, and I actually have a ton of DVDs of, like, these Marvel anime that, to be honest with you, I never watched or whatever, but seems like they tried their hand at seeing what would happen if anime studios, and they've been doing this every few years, they tried. Like, I remember they had that Batman direct-to-video that was, like, anime-inspired and shit. They, every few years, try DC and Marvel, like, well, what about anime? And it seems like it's only now, as of recent, now that we've had the big anime boom, and of course, you know, the comic book superhero movies are just through the roof astronomical, that it's starting to break through these collaborations. Like, you know, recently the Deadpool manga, a lot of people have been talking about that. Like, it seems like now it's probably the time, and they probably right on the nose to put this on their YouTube channel, because now probably people will be more accepting to the idea of, well, it's anime, right? And it's X-Men. This probably could be good. Moving forward, another update on Record of Ragnarok. No, not talking about the season 2 that was announced and Yeah, hopefully they do that one right. But they're apparently doing a Record of Ragnarok mini anime. It looks like a chibi anime SD, like think Rock Lee and his ninja pals and shit like that. Let's read this article courtesy of Anime News Network. Said Record of Ragnarok anime's TV run adds exclusive mini anime. The official Twitter account for Cartoon Network in Japan announced on Tuesday that the anime of Shinya Umemura Ajichika and Takumi Fukui's Record of Ragnarok manga will run with an additional exclusive mini anime for its TV run on the network. The anime will begin running on Cartoon Network in Japan on October 3rd, and the anime will premiere on TV in Japan on October 1st. And yeah, it looks like a chibi anime, to be honest with you, like Rock Lee and his ninja pals, or even the shorts that you would get at the end of Demon Slayer. Again, they're just like chibi eyes. So I'm expecting maybe like 2 or 3 minutes like in between for the commercials and shit like that. Looks like it could be funny at the very least. It would be hilarious if they took a Gintama approach and just started making fun of some of the animation. Like shit like that, I think would get people to feel a little bit more on board. Like y'all recognizing that y'all fucked up on some of the shittier looking parts. So we'll give you a pass. Like if they went with that approach, that would be dope. Okay, people, next up, big news. Pioneer and icon to anime, Yoshiyuki Tomino. He's one of the people behind Gundam 0079, but also the whole Universal Century timeline and whatnot. This man has crafted it, very, very highly regarded. And apparently he said he only got 3 years left in anime. Let's read the article. Yoshiyuki Tomino says he has around 3 years left working in anime. In an interview with Weekly Playboy published on Sunday, Mobile Suit Gundam director Yoshiyuki Tomino revealed that he has been suffering from health complications and anticipates that he only has 3 years left working on anime at the studio. The 79-year-old director explained that he has spinal canal stenosis, which is a narrowing of the spaces within the spinal column, causing pressure on the nerves. It causes pain and numbing in his rear and legs, making it difficult for him to move around freely. He remarked that when he sees videos of himself walking around, he looks like a sick person. On the other hand, he was relieved that he's been fully vaccinated against the virus, having received the second shot in June. When asked if he experienced side effects, he answered that his body felt heavy for 3 to 4 hours after receiving the shot. However, he said that he understands that with many people receiving the vaccine, some are bound to be incompatible. So unlike a certain segment of society, he has no intention of criticizing it. Classic Tomino has to throw this a little. Like, yeah, in the same interview, but you know, it is what it is. I'm not criticizing him for criticizing. I'm just saying it's like he always got to throw a little bit of spice, a little sauce in there. In the same interview, Tomino stated that he had no participation in the Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway film, which is based on the 3-volume novel series he wrote from 89 and 90. Although he has no comment about the film, describing it as the work of the director, he said that he might have had passionate discussions with the director about the adaptation if he was not so busy with the Gundam Reconquista NG compilation films at the time. Man, they're still working on Reconquista. He remarked that he now understands the position that Osamu Tezuka was in when Tomino directed the Triton of the Sea TV anime adaptation. He described Tezuka as someone who was very hands-off with the anime's production and tactfully restrained from expressing his feelings as the original creator. It makes me very happy that I'm now in Tezuka's shoes, but oh dear, he said, covering his face with his hands. It means I've reached a certain age, right? I'll be 80 soon. When asked about the Gundam live-action Hollywood adaptation, he said that he also generally has no comment about that. However, he did admit that he would have liked to be asked to direct it himself, even though he does understand that at his age, he is too old to make live action works at Hollywood. He acknowledged from personal experience as a student that filming is physically demanding work. As I am now, I don't have that much stamina left in me. So please let me say that we all ought to value the elderly a little more, he said with a laugh. Despite his advanced age, Tomino maintains an ambitious outlook towards anime. In a TV appearance in April, he said, giant robot shows are for kids, but while I'm alive and can make new works, I'll crush Demon Slayer and... Oh god, yeah, we're not gonna talk about that. People were on my head about those comments. I mean, he said it, right? But, you know, they said it was jokes, which it probably was, but yeah. It's sad to hear he has all these health issues, especially the man is a walking, living legend, but at the very least, it seems personality-wise, he's still intact, and he's still Tomino. Like, he still has the sauce, he still has the, you know, he's gonna tell it like it is, and at the end of the day, I wish him the best. I wish, you know, his last 3 years in anime, he creates his masterpiece, his best work possible, and he goes out with a bang. Shoutouts to Tomino. Okay, next up, very big news. One of the creators of Death Note, because Death Note, again, is a duo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Creation, a duo manga, likewise with Bakuman, likewise with Platinum End. They usually work together. However, in between manga, this creator in particular has been known to, we're on break right now, we're not doing anything, I'm gonna go work with somebody else, or I'm gonna go do my own thing, and then we link back again. Because according to this, it says Death Note artist Takeshi Obata will start a new manga series in the upcoming Jump Square issue, November 2021, out October 4th, in collaboration with writer Asakura Akinari. It will focus on comedians, and we see an image below of them, and it looks like, honestly, wow, now that I look at it, it kind of looks Bakuman-esque, to be honest with you. But what the hell, that honestly, it's very weird. For starters, it's weird, like, whenever this guy goes off, because again, he has been known to do this. He's known to, when they take a break, or they're not doing Death Note, they're not doing Bakuman, he goes off and does something else on his own. But a comedy manga, or a manga, let me not even say comedy manga, because it's about comedians, but it could be a serial killer manga, one of the comedians is a serial killer, but also the art kind of looks, again, Bakuman-esque, which is interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what goes on right here. I'm looking forward to seeing what this is, what this could be, because this guy, he's done a lot of crazy things in the past. Like, he's done Hikaru no Go, which, what was that? Was it marbles? Was it chess? I forget what the hell that was, but, like, that was something very different. Bakuman was about two kids creating manga. Then you got Death Note. Then you got Platinum End, that is basically, like, a Future Diary-esque type of series. So, now a manga about comedians. I want to check it out at the very least. I'm going to be very open-minded, especially considering this guy has made absolute greatness time and time again. I'm gonna look into see what's going on here with this comedian manga, and it's probably only gonna be short-lived, I'd imagine. Like, usually whenever it's a long-running project, he goes back with his other dude, but for now he's just working on this one. So again, I'm going to be open-minded, and maybe it could be something interesting. I mean, if it's a comedy manga, it's a give and a take if it could be funny or not. You know, comedy is subjective or whatnot, but I'm not going to completely rule it out, because a lot of times, you know, with manga, a comedy manga, again, could be a hard miss, but again, just because it's comedians doesn't mean anything, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes from here. So it's nameless at the moment, but when you see Takeshi Obata, you will know that is his new series. Okay, people, next up, we got a ton of One Piece news. Let's just start reading. For starters, we got a big update about a big announcement incoming with episode 1000. One Piece will be receiving special news when the TV anime reaches episode 1000. I could only imagine that with this big news of episode 1000 is going to be the next movie, because remember, it was already like shown that, like, oh, it looks like a trademark was incoming for the next One Piece film. Maybe with episode 1000, maybe the next movie will be announced. Maybe it'll have something with like One Piece 1000 days and 1000 nights or some crazy shit. Either way, I'm looking forward to, because it seems like they've been up in the stakes with every One Piece film. We went from fighting an ex-admiral, like, it keeps on going. One of Doflamingo's people, the latest one was, you know, one of Roger's people. Again, I would love for, a lot of people were slinging the idea around of One Piece Rocks, where it goes like through Whitebeard and all of them when they were part of the Rock Pirates, like shit like that. I would love to see being into a film, and then ultimately leading into maybe Rocks himself showing up for a big film, kind of like how Shiki was in Strong World, and, you know, Strong World was all about Shiki. That would be insane. So that's my guess, again, for the 1000, the big announcement when episode 1000 drops. Other than that, I mean, it could be horrible news, which, why would you celebrate, like, hey, One Piece anime won't go on for another year, Oda told us, like, yeah, I think that would be horrible. So I'm going to bet my money on a film, or maybe a spinoff anime. That would be kind of interesting. Honestly, I've always thought, why doesn't One Piece have like a serious spinoff? Like, it could be about the Tales of Roger, similar to like how Magi had the Tales of Sinbad, where it was like a prequel. But like something like that would be dope. I don't know. But either way, yeah, One Piece getting big announcement at episode 1000, which we're close. I want to say we're like maybe 10 episodes away now. Then big news that has a lot of people going crazy, because it was kind of like a spoiler. I don't think this character's been revealed just yet in the One Piece anime. It says One Piece anime cast Saori Hayami as Yamato. The official Twitter account for Eiichiro Oda's One Piece series announced on Tuesday that the anime has cast Saori Hayami as Yamato, the second episode of the We Are One miniseries of five short drama videos previewed Yamato's voice. Yamato will appear in the next episode of the anime on September 5th. Hayami announced her casting on the series' official YouTube channel. And I ain't gonna lie, I can't wait to see it. Like, from the little glimpse I saw of it, she looks awesome. She's gonna be awesome. And I can tell that they're putting a lot of muscle and manpower behind this Yamato character. I'm excited for it. And yeah, let's see if they do some good stuff, which they have been. From everything I hear, like, the One Piece anime the last couple months has just been phenomenal. And from what I've seen, Wano, like, they've done a phenomenal job with the anime. A lot of people are even saying that for once in, like, the last, I don't know, 10 years, the One Piece anime is just destroying the manga's quality, which I don't know how that's possible, because manga has been 10 out of 10, 11 out of 10, but that must speak volumes about the anime, right? Then we got an update on One Piece Magazine, the next issue of it. It says One Piece Magazine issue 13 will be out this winter. In this issue, the fourth and last chapter of One Piece novel, a manga adaptation by Boichi, will be publishing. And I ain't gonna lie, the art, for starters, the magazine cover, I like it. It's very simple. It looks realistic. It has like three cups of Ace, Luffy, and Sabo with the three pipes. Like, it looks really, really dope for a magazine. This is something I wish I would have bought the other ones. I don't know if they'll be like really high in price now. Maybe I might be able to import them. And like, these are like some collector's items in my opinion, to have these One Piece magazines. And then, oh my god, some of the art I've seen from Boichi, a Blackbeard and Ace. Boichi, you god, it is a real treat to see Boichi do his take on your character. I ain't gonna lie, like, I'm looking at a picture of Ace right now and it just looks absolutely flames. I cannot stress enough, this One Piece magazine is a true treat to all One Piece fans. If we were all in Japan right now, we would probably all be buying this shit to support, because it's great. It's freaking amazing. Then just a quick update for One Piece being on the cover of Jump. It says One Piece by Eiichiro Oda is on the cover of the upcoming weekly Shonen Jump issue 40 of 2021 to promote volume 100's release. And it got Luffy, Sanji, and Zoro, and they look epic. And it looks like Luffy is opening up a devil fruit that has, these are probably things like you can get in Japan, it's like a devil fruit, like probably one of those toy things where it has like the little toy of Luffy inside of it. And magazine cover looks awesome, kind of gives me classic One Piece meets modern One Piece vibes. Like, they're in modern One Piece clothing, but I don't know, something about it that feels just classic to it. And yeah, damn, that's crazy, we only got what, 12 more issues of Jump this year. Well, until, like, you know, the fiscal year runs through November. And then last on the One Piece docket, which is quite a bit. So, some Vivri card information have come out. A lot of facts and tidbits about the One Piece series. And we're going to take a look at some of it because, it's been rocking the fandom. In particular, something about Yamato and their gender has really had the One Piece fandom up in arms and fighting with each other. Okay, so from what I see here, it says new Vivri card information. For starters, Kaido is 59 years old, 710 centimeters tall, and born on the Grand Line. Wow, Kaido's pushing 60. Yeah. That makes sense if he was part of the Rock Pirates back in the day and all the stuff he went through. But damn, almost 60 years old. Holy shit. Yamato's gender. Here we go. Yamato's gender is confirmed to be female/woman. And I seen this rock the One Piece community, because a lot of people that felt like, yo, Oda implemented, you know, somebody with their pronouns, you know, their preferred pronouns and stuff like that, and now it's a big slap in the face that we thought that Yamato identified as a man, but he confirmed that their gender identity is a woman, mainly because they feel like Yamato was a man, because Yamato said, I am Odin, and Odin is a man. So if you're identifying as Odin, then obviously you would assume that, okay, then they must identify as a man. However, Oda coming out and saying, no, Yamato is woman. Yamato is a woman. That definitely pissed people off. Also, people thought that maybe that this was, a transgender character. So there was a lot of confusion around the community. So for Oda to come out and say, no, Yamato is a woman, it pissed a lot of people off. And yeah, I'm not going to open up that can of worms. I'm just going to say that, hey, the man himself, Oda, said Yamato's a woman, so it is what it is. I don't feel like it's disrespectful. I don't feel like he is coming at anybody, because it's still the fact that Yamato identifies as Odin, which is a man. But I guess, you know, in the official documents of the Vivri cards or whatever, gender-wise, she is a woman. Next, it says all six Tobiroppo members possess observation and armament haki, which... yeah, that's something to assume, although did we see all of them utilize it? I'm not sure on that one. New bounties revealed from the Vivri cards. It says King's bounty was 1.39 billion. Holy shit. Who's Who, $546 million. Wow. Sasaki, $472 million. Black Mario, $480. Ulti, $400. Page One, $290, which you could expect all that, but that's just kind of crazy. But then again, if Kaido's 60 years old and he's been building up his groove for a while, yeah, you can expect all of them to have high bounties. But holy shit, it's like King alone. I remember we was impressed about like Ace's bounty. What was Ace's bounty? Like 500 million or some shit like that? And then to see that King's, oh my god, Kaido was in another stratosphere. And then it also says more info from the Vivri card pack. Kaido is the strongest creature. Nothing on the card says that he is said slash called that by others. It's what he is. So he is the strongest. I wonder if that was the same case as when Whitebeard was alive. Remember Whitebeard was said to be the strongest man in the world. With Whitebeard being out of the picture now, does that necessarily mean that that's why he became the strongest, or is it that everybody called Whitebeard the strongest but really Kaido was all along? That's definitely something interesting. King is 47 years old, 613 centimeters tall, and the birthplace also the Grand Line, similar to Kaido. King, 47 years old. That's about right. That's something that, yeah. Queen is 56. Oh, wow. So Queen is almost 10 years older than King, even though he acts like a freaking mental midget. I mean, goddamn, Queen. Like, yo, you be acting like a, like, I don't know, very small-minded, to say the least. But he's only 1 centimeter shorter than King, which King kind of feels like he's taller than Queen, even though Queen is monstrous at the same time. And yeah, people, that's some of the Vivri card information. I'm not sure how much more else was revealed, but that was pretty big stuff, especially the Yamato stuff. I mean, that shit has been rocking the community. People are going nuts over that shit. Yeah, do what you will with the information. Moving forward, some updates for Jujutsu Kaisen. In particular, Jujutsu Kaisen is coming to PUBG. It says, start practicing your curse techniques now because Jujutsu Kaisen is coming to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds Mobile. PUBG announced the upcoming collaboration with the smash hit anime, and we can't wait to get our battle royale on Jujutsu Kaisen. The international collaboration promises to bring some of your favorite elements from Jujutsu Kaisen to the blockbuster mobile game. While details are still sparse, the first artwork celebrating the team up looks like curse techniques might be adding an entirely new dimension to the familiar maps of PUBG Mobile. PUBG Mobile is a last one standing free-for-all battle. 100 players parachute down to the battlefield and the game begins. Why does that sound like Fortnite? Use your weapons and your wits to survive the longest and you'll emerge as the winner. It sounds like a world that Yuji Itadori and the other curse technique users will feel right at home in. So yeah, if you've been wanting to game a little bit, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen, because obviously it's still fresh, it's not in like, you know, the Jump Force game or anything like that, PUBG will be having some Jujutsu Kaisen in it, so you could look forward to that. Again, I'm very unfamiliar with PUBG, so forgive me for the comparison of Fortnite. It sounds like Fortnite. My nephew used to play Fortnite every freaking day, so that's like the first thing that comes to my mind, like you're parachuting down and going into battle. Fortnite. Okay, people, next up. So apparently in Japan, they're like re-airing Demon Slayer Season 1, the anime, because over there, in case you don't know, it's not the most common thing to do to air reruns. Like, they don't really do that, especially when it comes to anime. Like, it's an event, so to speak, when they re-air something. Like, if they re-air an anime film or they re-air an anime season, it's like, whoa, they're doing this shit. Holy cow. Which they sometimes did that over here on TV, but for the most part, it's like, oh, reruns. Over there, it's a big deal. And they released a lot of new promo art from Season 1, and also I want to say there's some stuff that kind of correlates to Season 2. For starters, we got this image with Tanjiro holding Nezuko, and this looks like early Season 1 stuff, because you got Udo Kodaki there, then you got that monster from the first selection arc, then you move forward, you got Michael Jackson and Tanjiro. No, you got Muzan and Tanjiro. I remember that episode very vividly, and that's really dope to promote that episode. Then next up, you see, okay, you got Inosuke, Zenitsu, and Tanjiro. This one looks dope too. All of them look dope, honestly. Then following that, that's like episode 19 stuff, which I wonder if this was like Blu-ray art or meant to be in the Blu-rays. You got Tanjiro with Nezuko behind him. I think that's like the Rui battle. And then onward from that, you got the Hashira all looking beastly as hell. And I want to say, because I felt like it was supposed to be Season 2, but now I think about it, no, the Hashira were shown at the end of Season 1. So it ain't necessarily anything particularly new, but this is new art, I guess you could say, for Season 1. And I ain't gonna lie, it looks fire and it's getting me real hype. I cannot wait for Season 2 and the new video game, the Hinokami Chronicles. Like, it's gonna be nice to have a big Demon Slayer return when it all happens. And I know they got the little spin-off Chibi stuff, but I don't think I'll be reading that. Like, can we get a real spin-off? Like, come on, fam, there's so many things you can do and this will sell so many freaking books. Real spin-off soon, please, or sequel or whatever. Koyoharu go toge. Money. Yeah, you like money, mate. You love money. We've got to have money. I'm not sure how many people know that meme, but yeah, I like that meme. It's funny. Moving forward, very, very unfortunate news, and it makes me worried for the future of Black Clover, and it makes me especially worried for the creator of Black Clover, Yuki Tabata, because according to this, it says, Black Clover is on a sudden break in this week's weekly Shonen Jump issue number 40. The series will resume as scheduled next week in issue 41 with a color page. Cool beans on the color page and all of that jazz, but for starters, it being a sudden break usually is health-wise. It's usually like, yo, either the creator got real sick or they just couldn't catch up with the work. The reason why I'm going to go with more so that it's probably health-wise is because if you follow my Forever News episodes, which you should do, I'm just saying pretty hype stuff on these episodes, you know what I'm saying? No. But in the recent author comments, just like last week's, Yuki Tabata was talking about, like, he didn't get to relax on his break. A lot of things went down wrong. He said this exactly. I was feeling run down and my time off was ruined, but the massage given to me by a fan for my birthday is making me feel better. So basically from his time off, he was feeling run down, which means he wasn't feeling good. And then on top of that, he didn't get to relax anything like that. And yeah, you know, he threw in a joke of like, hey, I got a massager and shit like that. But yeah, him taking a sudden break out of nowhere probably means that he just wasn't feeling good. And I hope it's nothing serious, whatever. But usually things like this is worrisome, especially with everything going on in the world, especially with Tabata, that he has been here and there complaining about certain aspects. And then, you know, he's talking about his back, which immediately throws a lot of the fandom into worries, because you think about Yoshihiro Togashi with all of his back problems. Yeah, it's something to worry about. Something to get a little bit worried about. And yeah, I'm wishing nothing but positive vibes. Best wishes. Get well, sensei. If you need another break, we're here. Yeah, it's just really, really unfortunate to hear. I ain't gonna lie, it's sad. And I'm not talking about, like, the break. Like, yo, get the break. I'm talking about, like, if it's something to do health-wise, which it seems to be the case, that's never a good sign. That's never a good thing. And yeah, man, it's crazy. Like, then he's gonna come back with a color page, which that kind of feels almost like an apology. Like, yo, I took a week off, but here's a color page to make up for it. Sad stuff. Get well, Yuki Tabata. We will be here. Don't worry. Even though a lot of us were a little bit upset about the latest chapter, that ain't shit. I'm here for the ride. It's okay to criticize things from time to time, especially if it's constructive and meant with, you know, a good intent. But yeah, I love Black Clover. Yuki Tabata, one more time. Get better, get well, take as much time as you need. We're here. Okay, next up, just a small update. Apparently, Lupin the Third Part 6 begins October 9th, and there's a new key visual here. I didn't even know, like, Lupin the Third Part 6. Like, what's that about? Is that just the title, or is this, like, a Part 6 to an anime? Like, isn't there, like, a bajillion different Lupins at this point? Like, Mystery of Fujiko Mine. Like, there's a shit ton of Lupin out there. So, Lupin the Third Part 6 begins October 9th. I think it's confusing at this point. Like, they should start making some type of it, or maybe I don't know, maybe I should go and, like, watch a shit ton of Lupin and research it and do a video about it, because there needs to be some type of manual or instruction or some shit of, like, how to watch Lupin the Third. Can you just jump into any Lupin anime? Is there, like, a certain, like, with this one in particular, is it a timeline and that's why it's part six, or is that just a name? Like, what's going on here? Okay, people, next up, this is something that has me very worried, has me a bit sad, down about it, regarding Hunter's Guild Red Hood. Now, in case you don't know about it, it's a newer manga. It's only about 8 or 9 chapters in at this particular point, but at the very least over here in the West, from chapter 1 on, a lot of people have really enjoyed it. When I talk about it, people actually are like, oh shit, yeah, I read that, which is kind of rare for a newer series. And in general, I just really, really like it. I think it has so much potential. It has plot twists upon plot twists, and we're only, again, 7-8 chapters in, 9 chapters in at this particular point with the story. However, I've been hearing rumblings, and I've been reporting on it to you guys, that, like, it's not doing that well. A lot of the Japanese readers aren't really all gung-ho about it. And then the Shonen Jump ranking, which a lot of people say you could take it or leave it regarding what type of impact, but I've seen too many times that usually when you rank at the bottom, at the back of the magazine, unless you're something that's like a long runner that's been there for a while, chances are you're gonna get canned. And according to this, with the latest issue of Shonen Jump, issue number 40, Red Hood was in the bottom 3, and you don't really include one-shots because they're not really ranked, so it's the bottom, Candy Flurry, and then Red Hood right over it. So bottom 2 for Red Hood, 8-9 chapters in, that is not good at all. That is actually very, very bad. It could be in danger of cancellation already, which is so shitty. Like, Japanese readers, y'all not enjoying the greatness. Now, it could be because a lot of people are saying that chapters 2 through 4, I want to say, a lot of fans really didn't like those chapters. So you could throw the argument there that, okay, so that's why it ranked the way it did. But it's still very worrisome, and I hope that it doesn't get canceled. I'm genuinely concerned. Like, damn, man, yo, it's a brand new one, and it might be going the way of a lot of series that have potential. Hungry Joker, Barrage, I mean, I hope not, because again, I'm really, really enjoying it, but we gotta wait and see. Either way, bottom two on only chapter 2 is no bueno. And what I mean by that is because there's like a delay in the process. Like, chapter 1 was ranked last week, and I think it was like number 6, but then chapter 2 jumped straight away to like bottom 2. Not good at all. Okay, people, next up, just a small update on the World Trigger anime. It says new key visual for the World Trigger Season 3 TV anime revealed, and the anime, of course, will premiere on October 9th, 2021. And yet again, this visual as well just looks awesome. Wow, like Toei Animation, when they want to make something look nice, they can, and this is an example. And I hope in the future, you know, after One Piece, because obviously One Piece, they're, you know, pulling out all the stops, especially for Wano, I hope they really go more in a seasonal direction. I think the days of long running every week getting an episode anime is really over, and probably for the best for the most part. When you're getting really cool and amazing visuals like this, and hopefully fluid animation on top of that, yeah, it makes you think like, wow, I remember what the original World Trigger anime looked like and what it felt like. And okay, people, next up, we got a very, 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 very long interview from, I want to say he's the editor-in-chief of Weekly Shonen Jump, but he was the editor of Bleach. He's done a lot, so we're going to read straight through this without break, and then, yeah, we'll talk about it afterward because it's a very long interview. It says, One Piece, 100 volumes. Jump editor-in-chief speaks of the translation of the Top Reign. Hiroyuki Nakano, editor-in-chief of Weekly Shonen Jump, and there's a photograph of him on August 23rd, 2021, so this was very, very recent. Holy cow. It says, the 100th volume of One Piece, a manga by Eiichiro Oda depicting the adventures of Monkey D. Luffy and his friends who are aiming to become pirate kings, will finally be released on September 3rd, serialized in Shueisha's manga magazine Weekly Shonen Jump since 97, and with a cumulative circulation of comics exceeding 490 million copies worldwide. Why is One Piece loved by various fans and continues to grow while inching up a number of movements? I asked Hiroyuki Nakano, editor-in-chief of the magazine, about the mystery. It says, why has One Piece been love for many years? He says, I can think of many reasons, but the most important thing is the overwhelming passion, talent, and power of a manga artist named Eiichiro Oda, the unwavering will to deliver interesting cartoons to boys and girls. I've never seen a writer who has this more than Mr. Oda. The fact that we are always looking at smaller readers means that we are looking to new readers, so new readers are coming in for a long time. I think this is why we can continue to run at the top. It's really hard to continue a weekly series for more than 20 years, and you've been drawing manuscripts in a more outrageous place than you think. He said, what is your evaluation as a manga? One Piece has various inventions for painting and story composition. I thought I was made to read a new comic at the time of the first readout. I think it was reading that changed the history of manga. As you can see from the exhibitions, there is no compromise whatsoever. The color manuscript also takes a very long time. And as an editor, I wanted to say, even if I cut my hand a little more and have the manuscript faster, I can get popular, but I do not cut my hand at all. I think he's referring to, like, you know, cutting corners and things like that. That's why we're winning the trust of our fans, basically. Yeah, that we don't, you know, make no compromises, we don't cut corners or anything like that. The story has also changed the way the world makes comics, especially since Jump is a weekly popularity game. To put it in a big way, I should have aimed for something interesting this week without thinking about next week, or you should aim for, you know, something interesting right now. However, One Piece gained overwhelming popularity with its grand narrative conception and a new style that draws readers in with meticulous underlines. This has had a huge impact on other comics as well, and there are really fewer comics that have gone to the thousands and later, which basically means that One Piece thinks about the long term, and Oda has thought about the long term. He hasn't just thought about, well, what can I do this week to make it pop? He's thought about, what can I do that is going to make 10 years from now explode? It's also characterized by drawing the reminiscing edition firmly. In Weekly Shonen Magazine, heavy and dark reminiscences were difficult to take popularity, so it was mainstream to avoid them as much as possible and shorten them. However, Oda overcomes the hurdle of the reader's expectation by the belief. Do not deceive the reader. Hey! And there is something interesting in the future firmly. Even if the current Wano Country edition, the lines of the past are being collected more and more, basically meaning that he's utilizing the past to make the story relevant now, or, you know, be relevant in the story now. And if the reader does not remember the details of the story, the real fun cannot be tasted. No matter how many times you read it, it's interesting. It's interesting that you have to read it many times. A lot of attractive characters come out. First of all, there is fun in modeling, and they're referring to the cover of 100 volumes of One Piece, you know, all the different covers. Again, first of all, there is fun modeling that is simple and make even children want to draw. At first, I like the design and modeling, and when I read stories, each person's history and stories are deeply drawn, so I can't leave because I like them more. Even if I make such a large number of characters, each design is different and interesting, so I'm impressed after there are many draws. My favorite character is Zoro from the Straw Hat. So the editor-in-chief's favorite character in One Piece is Zoro. Zoro has many famous scenes. Among them, I especially like the third episode of the first appearance, Zoro the Pirate Hunter, basically like the third chapter. The villain tramples on the rice balls that the child made for Zoro, but I felt a quiet man who was very cool in the scene where he ate it all after the child was gone. The top war that became a turning point. Hiroyuki Nakano, okay, same who he is again. What is your favorite saying as editor-in-chief? It's too much, but Ace's last line, "You love me, thank you," in episode 483, In Search of Answers, Death to the Ace Battlefield of Fire Fist. At the time of publication, I was in charge of the final check of the manuscript, so he was editing One Piece at that time. Other long-term series works are also so, but One Piece tends to be the deadline. But when I read that scene at school and work, I thought, if it is such a manuscript, I will wait forever. Damn. I had no experience in editing One Piece, and I wanted to catch up with my work, and I wanted to go beyond it, but I thought this scene was too great, and I lost obediently. I think it is one of the top-level scenes in the history of manga in the world, so he thinks that's one of the best scenes in all of manga. Also, like Stupid Son, Still Love You, Red Dog Plot, since I am the editor-in-chief, I long to be such a boss. Both are choices from the Top War edition. The War of the Summit is one of the turning points in the popularity of the work. Yes. I remember that there were a number of books that I had never seen on the shelves of a convenience store at the time of the latest publication release, and I took a picture of it and showed it to the editor-in-chief. When I went the next morning, there was very little left. It was becoming so popular. 90 volumes of books have been released free of charge for a limited time. Yeah, they got, you know, One Piece, you could read damn near all of it for free over there in Japan. It is an initiative that has never been seen before as a publisher. This is also because Oda Sensei Strong wants as many readers as possible, especially young people, to read it. It was a big decision for the company, but the editor-in-chief talked directly to the president and realized it. It is also popular overseas. The One Piece took a little while to become popular overseas. Here, right here, this is something that I found to be very interesting. Again, the One Piece took a little while to become popular overseas. Overseas, Dragon Ball and Naruto were popular, and there was such a jinx, basically they thought it was a jinx, that it might not be accepted unless it was a blonde character. So they felt that if you didn't have your character have blonde hair, that you're not going to be popular. Because remember, one of the things that made Dragon Ball even more explode was when Goku went Super Saiyan. Naruto, blonde hair. So they thought, like, oh shit, wait, so One Piece isn't jumping because he doesn't have blonde hair? That's interesting to note that this is a billion-dollar corporation that, you know, a lot of people, they blindly believe everything, right? So he's telling you right here, this is what their mindset was. You need a blonde character to blow up in the US. Still, the One Piece followed the volume and gained popularity as the anime penetrated, so the jinx proved that it is just an urban legend and that interesting manga in Japan can be popular overseas. So One Piece kind of broke the urban legend in a sense of, like, yo, which I think more so is the landscape change now, because back then there was a smaller selection, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, only few were breaking through the door, you know what I'm saying? But now, you got bald motherfuckers like Saitama, One Punch Man, breaking through that door. So it doesn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying? Anime as a medium, manga as a medium, is way bigger than it's ever been. So, yeah, you could throw some arguments there, but that's very interesting insight to get from the, you know, editor-in-chief of Shonen Jump. Europe is originally strong by region, but recently Southeast Asia and North America have also been very exciting, attracting good sales and events, and the number of access to the latest stories in the app is strong. What are your expectations for the future, they asked him. One Piece has been running at the top of the world manga scene as well as jumping for 24 years. Moreover, the animation is running in parallel at the same time. There is no such work in the history of manga. As it accelerates in earnest toward the final series, I feel that it will be an excitement that no one has ever seen in the history of entertainment. Mr. Oda himself does not have the impression that his energy is exhausted. From here, I feel that the flames are getting stronger as I power up and head toward the final episode. I hope it will not disappoint and exceed your expectations. Let's enjoy the readers together until the end. Hiroyuki Nakano, born in Fukui Prefecture 1977, joined Shueisha in 2000, assigned to the Weekly Shonen Jump editorial department. After working as deputy editor-in-chief of Psycho Jump, he became the editor-in-chief of Weekly Shonen Jump July 2017. His major works include Bleach, Majin Detective Brain Nero, Toriko, Beelzebub, Strawberry 100, and Naruto, which he was in charge of the media. And yeah, very interesting interview. Obviously, it was more so focused towards, you know, One Piece because of the big thing that's going on, 1,000 chapters, 1,000 episodes, and things like that. But it's very interesting that a man that was born in 77 is running Jump, which I think that's good. Getting people that are just, you know, a little bit younger. What that means, like, what, he's in his 40s, early 40s, something like that? That's good shit. And honestly, very... And yeah, I know that was a little bit lengthy, but I thought that was interesting enough to share with you guys. And let me know what you guys think about that. Okay, people, moving forward. The author of Blue Exorcist recently announced that they were putting their series Blue Exorcist on hiatus. And that they were going to be working on something else in the meantime, which I kind of felt like, I don't know how. Like, I'm glad I'm not caught up to Blue Exorcist, because I would feel like that was a slap in the face. Like, you're putting the shit that I like from you on hold so you could draw somebody else's shit? Like... what's going on? But right here, just this is an update. It says, color page of Blue Exorcist creator Kazue Kato's manga adaptation of the horror novel Aizen Karukaya Kaitan by Fuyumi Ono in the upcoming Jump Square issue. It'll be 6 chapters in total. And I'm gonna lie, the art looks dope and all that stuff. But again, it just really rubbed me the wrong way. You put your shit on hold for half a year to draw somebody else's shit. So it's not even like you're taking a really cool break or anything like that. You're just adapting somebody. But I guess maybe it's somewhat of a break to not have to think about your own story arcs. You're just adapting and just, you're just drawing, not thinking about writing and shit like that. So maybe it's somewhat of a break. I don't know. It's just... feels a little wrong. Next up, we got some manga sales. For starters, we got Twin Star Exorcist, which it just recently has this really beautiful color page. It says the series has 6 million copies in circulation worldwide. I always thought that series was going to blow up, and then I watched the anime, and I know the manga, from what everybody tells me, is way better than the anime, but I remember watching the anime and being like, this is going to blow what? I did not like the Twin Star Exorcist anime at all, but I've heard that it was actually a botched adaptation and not good. So yeah, thankfully I wasn't wrong on that. Then we also got an update on the sales of the Arsenal manga by Hiromu Arakawa, aka the author of Fullmetal Alchemist, and Yoshiki Tanaka. It has 8 million copies in circulation for 15 volumes. Really? Only 15? This shit has been going on for what feels like forever now. Only 15. Okay. Or maybe it's been over and this is just an update on it. I don't know, because yeah, Hiromu Arakawa has a new work on the way, so maybe that's what it is. Then, I'm not sure how many people are fans of this, but there's a manga called Ranger Reject, and apparently it has entered hiatus due to Negi Haruba's poor health, and there's no date for its return. So if you're a fan of the Ranger Reject manga, yeah, unfortunately the author is sick. Definitely sending best wishes, sending positive vibes, prayers, all of that stuff for this author, because I know it must be horrible. The anxiety you must feel, that your dreams is right there going up in flames, you feel, because you're sick and you have to go on hiatus. So again, prayers out to this gentleman. And yeah, if you're a Ranger Reject fan, there's a very good reason, an unfortunate but good reason why it had to go on hiatus. So again, best wishes to this author. Okay, people, next up, let's go into the Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. For starters, we got Nakaba Suzuki, author of The Seven Deadly Sins and Four Nights of the Apocalypse. He said, I finally saw Suicide Forest Village. I enjoyed the movie itself and the commentary too. Was he meaning Suicide Squad? But Suicide Forest Village, maybe that's a different film. But it kind of just sounds like he was talking about Suicide Squad. Shoutouts to Nakaba Suzuki. Then Ken Wakui, author of Tokyo Revengers, said, I watched Gundam UC. I'm guessing Gundam Unicorn. Again, Muto's script still hits me in the soul. Shoutouts to him. I really want to rewatch some Gundam, man. Gundam Wing was the shit. I need to go rewatch some Gundam Wing. Hiro Mashima, author of Fairy Tail Eden Zero. I took up my guitar for the first time in a while and was surprised that I couldn't play very well. That being said, I didn't play it much to start with. That's like saying, yo, I tried to dunk my basketball and I couldn't dunk, but, you know, I never could dunk to begin with. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, you know? Yusuke Nomura, author of Blue Lock, said, I watched Gotham on Netflix and it was the greatest thing ever. Everyone, please watch Gotham. Also, the penguin is adorable. Didn't people shit on Gotham? I heard it got better, but People really shitted on Gotham. I'm questioning your taste, Yusuke Nomura. I'm just playing, you know, enjoy your shit. Then Atsushi Okubo, author of Fire Force, said, since I'm neither good at sleeping or taking care to breathe properly, it's been painful to even lie in bed lately. I hope everything's all right. That doesn't sound good. Sending positive vibes to you and best wishes to you and prayers, Atsushi Okubo. That sounds bad, especially this climate with everything going on. And then lastly, George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo, said, I got a crow's feather from my veranda. So a crow left their feather on his veranda. I don't know if that's, isn't that like a bad omen? Yeah. I don't know what's going on with the authors of Weekly Shonen Magazine this week. Some wild stuff, but sending positive vibes. A lot of authors is getting sick. We just talked about Yuki Tabata, author of Black Clover. Then we got these, like, yeah, positive vibes all around. And lastly, people, we got a very, very weird and what the hell are you doing update from Buenos Aires. I want to say that's Argentina. Apparently Dragon Ball Super was canceled over there, and it sounds ridiculous. Let's read. Dragon Ball Super gets canceled overseas over sexual harassment claims. Dragon Ball Super has been out for years now, but the show continues to find new fans by the day. From the manga to series reruns, there are lots of ways to check out the title, and these outlets are huge in South America. But now it seems like one country has canceled Dragon Ball Super amidst an ongoing debate concerning Master Roshi. I said this 4 years ago, somewhere, somehow it was going to happen. I said this. If you need some context, let's wind things back a bit. Dragon Ball Super saw its TV anime close several years ago in anticipation of its first movie. The series has not made a return since, so regions all over the world are simply re-airing Dragon Ball Super. This is very common in South America and Mexico, given how big Dragon Ball is in those regions. However, the capital city of Argentina is no longer seeing eye to eye with the anime. Not long ago, Twitter tweet Buenos Aires Department of Communication released a statement in regards to Dragon Ball Super. The note went live after an episode aired that leads into the Tournament of Power. I knew it was this episode too. It was there. Fans watched as Master Roshi took on an odd training session, and the man's perverted ways have gotten the show canceled now. According to the official statement, the Department of Public Defense was sent a complaint by the Ministry of Women, Gender Politics, and Sexual Diversity. The latter filed a complaint after constituents provided their reactions to the most recent Dragon Ball Super episode. As for the episode in question, it happened to be the one where Roshi recruited Puar to transform into a lovely young lady. The perverted teacher asked Puar to do this so Roshi could overcome his weakness because he knows he's too perverted for his own good. By the end of his training, Roshi says he has overcome the need to sexualize women, but only on the battlefield. This episode's a bit sketchy, but authorities in Buenos Aires were far from amused. The executives are officially accusing Roshi of engaging in sexual abuse. Yo, what the fuck in 2021 we talking about? Roshi abusing Puar? This is what we doing? Now Cartoon Network and Warner Media are pulling Dragon Ball Super from the air in Buenos Aires and much of Argentina following the complaint. Of course, this could change in the future, but for now, it seems like Roshi has ruined a good thing for Goku and the gang. That is, I get it. I ain't gonna lie. When I watched that episode, I felt uncomfortable. I felt like the way it was written, the way Roshi was written, it made him look really bad. It made him look like, okay, Roshi, you're like two steps away from doing something you're gonna regret, fam. What are you doing? But still ultimately canceled? How about just not airing that episode ever again? There. Like, that's really, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That's crazy. And Argentina, people out there that want to watch it, go figure a way to watch it. Don't let this stop you, because that's very, very ridiculous. And I called this in 2017 that, yeah, this was gonna happen at some given point in. Wild shit. But yeah, people, those are the stories we have for today's episode. I'm very curious what you guys think. Bakuman / Kendaichi director doing that new Netflix original anime about Napoleon, the Mushoku Tensei second part preview, Cowboy Bebop's comic series, as well as the actor behind Spike, John Cho, speaking out about his worries, Sony streaming the Marvel anime on their YouTube, Record of Ragnarok mini anime, Yoshiyuki Tomino, creator of Gundam, saying he got 3 years left in anime, Death Note creator's new work, comedy manga, all of the One Piece news from the special news that's coming out on episode 1000, the drama from the Vivri cards, just everything that happened with One Piece, you know, Yamato's voice actress, Jujutsu Kaisen hitting PUBG, the new Demon Slayer art, the very unfortunate and terrible news for Black Clover. Again, best wishes, Yuki Tabata. The new Lupin the Third part 6, things looking really bad for Hunter's Guild Red Hood. Please don't cancel it. Please jump. Please do the right thing. World Trigger anime art art for season 3, the interview from the editor-in-chief of Shonen Jump, the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments, the Blue Exorcist mangaka's work that they're adapting while Blue Exorcist is on hiatus, the sales for Twin Star Exorcist and the Arsenal manga, Ranger Reject going on hiatus, Dragon Ball Super being canceled in Argentina, and the weekly Shonen author magazine comments, and your thoughts on any of the stories we covered in today's episode. But that's all I have for this one. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed. If you liked anything I had to say or enjoyed the video, drop me a like. I'd greatly appreciate it. And if you want more from me, make sure to subscribe. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram. Hit that bell to get all notifications. And if you want to follow any of my other social media, links in the description below. I'm FNebWorld. And as always, people, have an awesome day.
And remember the golden rule.
Anime and manga
for life. Bye.
Have an awesome day. Peace. And you guys just watched another episode of
Whatever It Is.
Have an awesome day.